This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Conversations on life, style, beauty, and relationships. It's the Velvet's Edge podcast with Kelly Henderson.
Well, I love talking to female entrepreneurs. I say that a lot on this podcast. So today I'm with Amanda Stone. You are the CEO of A&M Agency, which I have to say one of the most fun facts about your business to me is that you started it when you were 22.
Yeah.
What in the world? How did you start a business at the age of 22? I don't even think I knew what I wanted to do with my life at 22.
Yeah, I think I just have this crazy sense of urgency, kind of like, if not now, then when? And I think that's really kind of propelled most of the decisions along the way for me, and especially when it comes to business. I'm eager. I get excited and I don't want to slow down and wait to be older or for any other variables to shake out.
Well, I know it's a marketing agency. So will you tell the people kind of what you guys do? And I know you have some huge clients I also want to mention, but I'll let you guide the story.
Yeah, absolutely. So A&M Agency, we help companies foster deeper, more authentic connections between people and brands. And that kind of sounds a little fluffy, but really, ultimately, you know, it's what we do. We create these experiences and these, you know, tangible products that help these companies really establish those relationships with people and create that trust and that interest. And ultimately it helps them stand out above the noise of the marketplace. There's so much noise. There's so much content being thrown at people. I mean, you know, you have a podcast. There's just
everybody
so much.
Podcast.
Yeah. It is great. And there's just so much noise out there. And campaigns like ours that have more of this high touch nature, highly personal nature, just really stand out above and beyond kind of the other more traditional marketing routes. And so we look at what we do as an extension of a marketing strategy or a marketing plan that just resonates with people in a different way and really remains more elevated in their memories than other marketing channels. So we do this through events, brand boxes, videos, photos, brand partnerships, social media partnerships, and just a wealth of other channels, just depending on the strategy and the client.
Well, you keep saying client, but I should mention some of your clients include Spotify, Mars Wrigley, the United Nations Women. So you have these huge corporations that you're working with and building these marketing campaigns, which is amazing. Was that intimidating to you as a young person coming in and trying to sell yourself to these companies? Like, what gave you the confidence to know that you could do a good job?
I would say in the early days, just knowing that we would do whatever it takes to get the job done. I mean, I think I was actually just speaking with a potential team member earlier, and we talked about kind of my philosophy about mind over muscle and how in what we do, our goal is to provide, you know, really like mind-centric services and ideas and strategies and these more kind of abstract services that are often harder to define than, you know, something that's a widget or something that's a product. But to add value in that way, instead of lugging around heavy stuff. And so I would say that in the early days, we did our fair share of muscle work in addition to all the mind work. But I think that ultimately just helped us establish a great track record of not just coming up with these strategies and ideas, but seeing them all the way through, deliverable in the result. And I think that just recognizing that pattern and overcoming challenge by challenge and adding these kind of buckets of experience along the way, I'm a big believer that each new thing we try and do is only new once. And then suddenly it's this bucket of experience that we can draw from in the future.
Well, I love that tip. It's only new once, because it's so intimidating when you're overcome with, let me try this or let me try this. There's stuff in, you know, the world we live in, especially with social media and things like that, it's constantly changing. And so It can be very intimidating, especially if you're walking into something new. So what?
Absolutely. I remember in the early days too, talking to my co-founder at the time about how, you know, worst case scenario, we would just try to find new jobs and have this really cool resume to refer to and this awesome life experience to laugh about. So it's, you know, so many people get so intimidated by thinking they should have all the answers in day one, but really so often, you know, it's more of a marker of leadership and entrepreneurship if you're able to seek out the answers that you don't have instead of only banking on the information that you have at that time. I think the second we stop learning and trying new things, the world kind of moves on without us.
Yeah. I've told people that a million times about when you work for yourself or you have your own business, people assume that you know everything. And I think that was a mistake I've made multiple times, is feeling like I should. And if I didn't know the answer, I didn't have the exact right way it should go, then I shouldn't be doing this. And really what I've learned in business, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, but it's the willingness to learn more or to go ask questions to the expert in that area if you don't know the answer, that can really make for a successful business.
Yes. I the ability to seek out information is so much more valuable than the information that you already know.
Yes. I love that. Well, you mentioned the sense of urgency earlier, but did you always know you wanted to work for yourself or own your own business?
I did. Yes. I come from an entrepreneurial background. My grandfather dropped out of college to take over a family business in Georgia. And he became the biggest peanut exporter in the world in his late teens or something crazy. That business ended up coming to a crazy grand finale, but it just kind of set, I think, everybody in that side of the family off on an entrepreneurial path of their own. So my parents owned a small business in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And that was such a huge influence on me growing up. They were at every performance, every game, every silly last thing. I probably would be like embarrassed to recall some of the things that they even showed up to. But they were there and so present and patient and playful. And I feel like that the way they showed up for their family was totally enabled by the fact that they were working for themselves. And I knew that by the time I got to the life stage that I'm currently in, with two young daughters and another daughter on the way, I knew I wanted the same thing. And, you know, to have a career path that's truly part of me and really just representative of who I am as a person, it really helps to find the energy and the time and the focus to devote to the business and to being an entrepreneur, as well as the other facets of my life and the things that matter most to me. So I think that entrepreneurship, not everybody has it, but not everybody needs to. But for those that it's a natural fit, it really, you know, can be so energizing and spark that urgency that makes us just, you know, being a little bit more willing to take that leap and go for it.
Well, I want to talk more about the fact that you have two children and one on the way. And own a business, but I have to first mention that you also own another business that you just started, Palmingo Pools. Tell me about this pool business.
Yes. Yes. So while A&M Agency is an events and marketing company, ultimately the core of what we're doing is creative project management. And over the past decade of working in that business, the closest parallels that I draw when talking about what we do with A&M Agency is to construction. So I found myself talking about construction over the years and applying that to the project management process that we use at A&M. And that gave me this curiosity about construction in general. And then I moved to my current home about 5 years ago. And I knew that I someday hoped to have a pool. I knew that in Nashville, it's rare to find a pool under 150,000, if not 250,000, especially where I live on a steep hill in Brentwood. And so I just kind of started getting creative and thinking outside the box and kind of following my natural rabbit hole nature. And like recalling my thoughts over the years about construction and how ultimately, again, it's all, it boils down to project management. And so over time, the picture became clear that I could develop a pool solution for people that leverages my background in project management and working closely with people to see projects from start to finish all the way through. So ultimately I made the call to start Palmingo Pools, late last year. And again, I think it just was that came from that place of FOMO, that urgency of, you know, if not now, then when? There will never be a good time to go for the things that matter. I'm a big believer in making space and time for the people and the things that matter. And if you don't, then it must not matter that much to you. So Palmingo, yeah, our projects revolve around prefabricated pools. So concrete cast, shipping container and stainless steel pools. I work with a handful of suppliers who manufacture those in warehouses, ship them here to Nashville on flatbed trucks. And then we install them using a crane. So that helps to streamline the installation process, cuts out a lot of variables, and really optimizes budgets so that we can do a little bit more for their dollars.
Wow, I'm like selfishly thinking, that you found a need of your own and then created a business around it, because that's somewhat of what I've done in my life, or things that I'm just fascinated with. Somehow I turn them into businesses. I know there's a lot of young girls that listen to this podcast. So would there be one tip that you, as a successful woman in this dynamic career, would give as far as, you know, things that you've learned in owning your own business, or maybe looking at the business before you start and being intimidated? What can help you to get to the place of actually just starting it, like you said?
I would say that if it matters to you, don't wait.
Okay.
And that applies to business. It applies to friendships, relationships, calling your parents. It applies to everything. If it matters, then don't wait. There's never too young. There's never too old. Any sort of roadblock that you might imagine was created by someone else. You know, it doesn't have to be your roadblock just because it's someone else's. On that note, you know, it's okay. Failing is, you know, it's always a risk, but it's a risk in everything we do. Even huge companies fail, but I don't really view that as a failure. I view it as, you know, the experience gave that person or that organization what they needed for that season and for that period of time. And then it's okay to move on from that if you decide it's no longer for you. So not waiting, and then not being afraid to make changes along the way. Years ago, we started A&M Agency as an events company. And just because we diversified and rippled out from there doesn't mean we're not still, you know, the same company that we've always been. We just are the same, but with a comfort zone that's a bit more expanded and doing a bit more. But Palmingo, it was definitely a leap of faith. It's a new industry. I was learning a lot of new nuances and continue to do so every day, but I'm not afraid that there are still stones that I'm, you know, overturning along the way, because ultimately that's what people are counting on me to do, to find solutions in a new way to a problem that still exists. Because if I'm not overturning new information about it, then nobody else is anyway.
Right. Do you know your Enneagram number?
I'm a 3-wing two.
As I'm sitting here, I'm like, she's either a 3 or a 7. 3 makes total sense. The achiever aspect. I think a lot of entrepreneurs probably are.
Yeah.
I'm a 4-wing 3. So we all,
when
you work for yourself, you kind of have to have that drive of you have to do it, or else it's just I don't know, like, I don't think it would happen otherwise, you know?
Yes, and I love the Enneagram. And I feel too, like the achiever in me, one thing that I read somewhere along the way was about efficiency and how, you know, with the achiever, it's how do I get there? How do I get there efficiently? And that so applies to both my desire to just go for it, that urgency, you know, that don't wait attitude, but then also it applies to operating these projects. You know, it's, I love strengths-based roles and kind of optimal fit environments for people. I believe that if people are in roles that don't play to their strengths, then they're not really able to bring, they're using too much of their energy putting on a front, and they're unable to show up with as much energy as they should to, you know, their family. They family gets left over because people are showing up as their best selves at work. So if you're in a strengths-based role, and I love, I mean, Enneagram is a tool for that, then it kind of sets you up to be able to, you know, show up to all of your facets a bit better and a bit more in line with who you want to be.
Yes. So our advice to everyone is go find out your Enneagram number.
Yes.
Actually, I think it's helpful for all aspects of life, but if you're interested in owning your own business or getting to the place of having the guts to start that, I do think knowing things about yourself, like what your strengths are, just like you're saying, are so important, because then you can call in people with the strengths you don't have to help you build it.
Exactly. Yes. Lean into those blind spots.
Exactly. So one of the main reasons I wanted to talk to you was just the idea of finding harmony and contentment in life. That's a big piece of what I hear of your story and business. And I find it to be a two very difficult pieces personally, because I feel like I can go one way or the other. Like I can have so much peace and so much contentment in my life, or I can be killing it at work. You know, and so like finding that in between place, and then also finding the place to rest in contentment versus constantly striving to the point of reaching burnout have been two struggles of mine. And so when I first heard about you, I was like, oh, these topics, yes, these are things that I personally need. And so I imagine a lot of people kind of struggle with the same thing. So we mentioned that you have two children already. Mm-hmm. One other child on the way. You have these two businesses we've now discussed. And I just want to know how contentment has become a piece of your puzzle that is so important to navigating all of those things all at the same time.
Gosh, yes. I feel like contentment, when I first heard the word, it sounds kind of meh.
Yeah.
But then the more I thought about it, you know, the more I realized, like, really, like, you know, if you're just kind of like manically happy all the time, that's not, you know, the most sustainable state of being. You know, when there, what goes up must come down. But with contentment, it's more about, yeah, like you said, that inner peace, that kind of everything feels aligned and settled. And, you know, I sometimes just check in with myself and I just think like, wow, yeah, I wouldn't change anything. Or if I would, then, you know, I would change X, Y, Z. And how about I go ahead and change that? I love taking agency and encouraging others to do so as well, and kind of take control of what really fills our cup. You know, with work-life harmony, the traditional phrase is work-life balance.
Yes.
But to me, balance implies this scale where when one side is up, the other is down, and vice versa. Whereas harmony implies that when one is up, the other has the potential to be up too. So they can, the facets of our lives can really elevate each other. And ultimately, we're also much more than, you know, just work and life. It's work, life, self, health, all these different facets, you know, these different kind of circles of buckets, yeah, in our orbs. But so yeah, work-life harmony, the ultimate goal is to have that contentment. I know for me personally, when I feel really fulfilled at work and really resolved, that's always a goal of mine at the end of each day, is to kind of walk away with resolve so I can really be present kind of once I unplug. But the goal is to then be able to kind of walk into, you know, the rest of my life and other facets with that kind of elevated state of being and that sense of resolve. Because then I know for me, you know, if I'm still, my brain is at work, but my body is over here at the dinner table, then chances are I'm not going to be, you know, fully present. So just enabling ourselves to be truly content and not dragged down in one section or the other. I know, you know, if something felt a little funky with my family you know, outside of work, then I kind of bring that same energy into work. So just making choices along the way that enable the different facets of our lives to kind of find a more content balance, instead of just neutral, because neutral, you know, that's, if that's kind of the status quo, then who wouldn't want to be content opposed to neutral?
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Since every minute counts when you're a new parent, who wants to waste time washing bottles? Transform this daily chore with the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro, the first machine that automatically washes, sterilizes, and dries bottles, pump parts, and sippy cups at the push of a button. Its 20 spray jets clean everything 100%. Plus, it sterilizes with steam, then dries with germ-free air. Don't waste time on tedious hand washing. Let the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro do it for you. Shop now at babybrezza.com.
I'm interested in the word resolve. I was just thinking through that as you talked about it, because I think that would be the goal at the end of the day. And I see what you're saying about leaving work and being able to show up in these other roles and needing to feel the resolve so you can kind of let it go. And in my experience with having my own business, the job's never done, right? Like there's going to be more emails in the inbox. There's going to be some other task that you could do to grow your business and on that day. And so how do you get to the place of resolve when you're the person that's running the show?
Yes. And I think that's a challenge that a lot of entrepreneurs face.
Yeah.
Because we've all been taught to believe that your business, you have to live it 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, you're in it. But that's why so many entrepreneurs burn out before they reach their goals. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, one thing that I do is I try to schedule the set schedule on my calendar between 10 and 3 daily. So then that gives me an opportunity to start my day doing what I need to do to get momentum going in whatever direction I need it to go. And then that also leaves me a buffer at the end of the day to where I can really find that resolve and I can tie up loose ends. And even if I can't get to a task, then I can let everybody who's relying on me to get that task done, I can let them know that, hey, it's not happening today, but I will make it a priority first thing tomorrow. Because so much of working with other people is in that communication and just helping people understand kind of where you are and what they can expect from you. Because there's a huge ripple effect. you know, with working with people, there's, you know, it's a big domino chain of people counting on each other. So that is my biggest strategy for finding resolve at the end of each day. And then it's also, you know, just having a great support system and team around me and enabling them to do great at their work. And then also trusting that if there's anything that I know that I need help with, that I have, you know, a squad that I can loop in. And I know not everybody's there when they're starting out, but that's kind of common advice that I hear entrepreneurs give as things that they would do differently if they were starting a business a second time around. As I was starting my second business, I asked a lot of entrepreneurs around me, if you could do anything differently starting a second business compared to what you did for your first, what would the top thing be? And the vast majority of entrepreneurs responded that they would get the help that they needed sooner. And so that's something that I've taken to heart with Palmingo. And I actually have my first full-time employee starting next week, because I know that it's so tempting to wait and to find that security, but entrepreneurship is leap of faith after leap of faith.
Yeah. I love the 10 to three. I've never thought of that. So you, by that, you mean like you don't schedule your first meeting or call or things like that until 10 o'clock.
That's what I try to do. That's my goal. So it work-life harmony too, work-life harmony, contentment. My goal is for those to be the norm. But there are always exceptions because there's an ebb and flow to everything. Yeah. But my goal, yeah, my ideal schedule is to have a 5 or 6 hour window in which all of my scheduled activities take place. So calls, meetings, whatever it may be. So that way I can end the day feeling like I got what I needed to done. And then I also know how I need to start the next day. It takes some discipline, self-control, and then also intentionality. It's, you know, it's so key to be able to anticipate and prioritize. And then also just in general, critical thinking. You know, sometimes people take things at face value. You know, if somebody got that email from me, they might think saying, you know, I'll get back to you tomorrow. Then, you know, they might assume like, oh, well, it wasn't a priority today or it wasn't important to her, but just to really be intentional with how you're communicating with people and the choices that you're making and kind of explain why and what they can expect from you. I think those are, they're all ingredients and just a really sustainable workflow and pace and rhythm.
I just also hear a lot of boundaries in that, which we all need in order to be our best selves, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's talk a little bit about contentment because, well, I love that tool. I think that's a very tangible tool that people can take away. And I like to give those from experienced people like yourself. And with, for me with contentment, I find, and I don't know if this is just me, I feel like this is a very achiever type thing. So you might resonate, but you know, I'll get content. I'll get excited. I will appreciate that certain goals are happening and manifesting and come to fruition. And then it's like, but then what's next? And when I think of contentment, I think of a place where I'm just content. It's like, it can be chaos around. It could be the goal isn't achieved, but I'm still finding happiness within myself. So one, is that how you would define contentment? And then two, do you have any tangible things that you do that we could give the listeners as tips to just finding contentment, no matter where they are in their life and their business and whatever is that's happening for them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. I think of contentment as being happy where I am, but open to what's next. Ooh, I like knowing that I can, you know, get myself to a content place, even if I slip out of it for a minute.
Yeah.
And as entrepreneurs, we're so focused on what's ahead and what's, you know, coming down the pipeline and, oh, this year I hit my goal, but what about next year? Will I continue to push further and grow more? So we're always kind of living in the present and in the future and in like the super future. And so I think, yeah, being content is being happy where you are, but open to what's ahead. And one tool, and this is not for everybody because it does take some discipline and it takes time to do. But again, I think that, you know, again, if something's important to us, like contentment, then we make time to see it through. I have created a grid for myself that breaks down the calendar for a day. And you can pick an increment of time. It can be 30 minutes, an hour, just kind of depending on what makes sense for your lifestyle and work. But I pilot this at different times just to see, you know, where my trends lie. Essentially you take each hour or 30 minutes or even 15 minutes, which is what I did because my work pace is very quick. And I have, you know, one column has the different time slots, and then one column has the task, and the other column has kind of like my vibe, how I would identify myself feeling. And then I did a contentment score. So on a scale of like 1 to 10, 10 being I'm very content with this, 1 being like I'm super miserable and would be fine to never do this again for the rest of my life. Because you can really start to identify patterns that way. You know, sometimes people just think they might have one negative experience during the day and suddenly like their whole day feels like this gray shadow over it, but really it might've just been this like one little email exchange that felt a little funky, or, you know, one little argument with a friend or family member that kind of put you on a weird path. But it really helps with self-awareness. And again, that like discipline and self-control and intentionality, because ultimately sometimes we might feel weird in a team meeting, but really it's because what's on our minds is this email that we got from a client before or a vendor. And so by breaking down your day like this, it kind of forces you to lift up and really think about what you're experiencing in the moment and how that's making you feel. And it's okay to like not be doing it every 15 minutes, but to kind of go back and backfill like, oh yeah, that's when I, you know, saw that my email inbox was really raking up some emails right as I was going into a meeting. But then, you know, what good did that do? You're just kind of making yourself a bit miserable for the next couple of hours. So then it can help give you strategies. So once you've pinpointed the trends of like when you're more or less content, then from there, you're able to think about like, okay, well, maybe I need to schedule. If it's emails that are stressing me out, then I probably need to schedule time on my calendar for that and to pilot block scheduling so that I'm not carrying the weight of an increasingly full inbox throughout my other tasks of the day.
Okay. So you 15 minutes, ask yourself, you kind of break down what happened in the last 15 minutes.
Yes, but very high level. So it might be like accounting. It could be emails. It could be client meeting. And sometimes if I already know I'm going to be in a client meeting, I just go ahead and populate it. Yeah. Having a lot going on, I'm a big calendar person. So I could probably pre-populate this grid on Sunday evening or Monday morning for the whole week. And then of course there are changes, but then to pop in kind of my general vibe and then my contentment score as I'm going along. And sometimes, you know, I'll forget. And if I'm doing it 1 week, I might forget and need to revisit like, you know, a chunk of time. But then it also helps you like think through, like really put yourself back in those shoes and not just make assumptions about, you know, broader trends, but to really identify like what actually happened. And that way you can set yourself up for success in the future by being self-aware and open and honest with yourself about what fills you up and what totally drives it.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/Papertarian.
Need an easy button to feed your baby? Baby Brezza's Formula Pro Advanced makes a perfectly mixed warm formula bottle automatically at the push of a button. No air bubbles, no fuss. Literally, choose your temp, select your ounces, push start, and you're done. Works with virtually all formulas and bottles. Say goodbye to the 3 a.m. feeding chaos and hello to this revolutionary stress-free solution. Raising a baby is hard enough. Let Baby Brezza make feeding a breeze. Get your Formula Pro Advanced at babybrezza.com.
Yeah, I'm just like mind blown because it seems so simple, but that actually is brilliant because I do think another thing that happens when you work for yourself or you own your own business, and I think this would probably happen in any job, but it's that you take on all of the responsibilities, especially if it's a new business, right? Mm-hmm. Because you don't have the employees or the staff to kind of back you up. So you don't really realize the actual things that maybe you are good at, that you enjoy doing, that mm-hmm. are just, you know, the tedious things that you have to do because you own a business. And so I totally and completely agree in the overwhelm of, oh God, this day sucked. And then not even really knowing why. You're kind of just out of touch with yourself completely. Or if it's things like the email inbox, like you said, and it's just a simple thing, like I just need to designate this certain amount of time. But like, I know something I'm guilty of is I'm constantly checking. So I'm like, I have my phone to my hip, you know, and I'm constantly on it and available to people. And all that does is completely deplete me and take me out of my availability for whatever the task is right in front of me. It's kind of yes. just bypassing everything.
Yes. And one thing that I try to do is to account for that. So, you know, in my job working with other people, they're counting on me. You know, I might have an answer to a question that will unlock their progress for the rest of the day. And so I build in buffers to be available. So say I get coffee with someone, instead of scheduling that for an hour, I might schedule it for 45 minutes so that I can go, when I get in my car, I'll take a look at my phone, see if there's anything urgent, and then go to my next destination or to my next task or call. Yeah. And I also encourage my team, anytime we have a project call with a client or with a vendor, hold the next 30 minutes or an hour for actual progress so that you're not having to just fit in time to do the actual to-dos and those deliverables that came out of that meeting. But instead, you can truly drive progress. I mean, how impressive is it whenever you hang up from a call with somebody and then like within the next 15, 30 minutes, an hour, they actually do the things they told you they were going to do instead of it happening 15 minutes before the next connect.
Yeah. When you're like wondering, am I going to get that email? Because like you said, I need that to be able to move forward with what I need to do. And that's so difficult sometimes when you're waiting on someone else.
Yes. And so often we think of meetings or calls, as you know, oh, well, I talked to that person, I checked that box, but really it's all about the work that goes on between.
Sure.
Yeah. And that's what actually drives progress.
Wow. That's a great tip. I just hear so many boundaries, which I highly respect, and it's not my top skill set. I talk about that a lot on this podcast about just constantly having to be checking in with myself because I'm very quick to sacrifice myself and my own needs to try to get a job done or for other people or whatever. It's an old habit of mine. So do you have any tips for boundaries? Because I feel like in general, you have a lot that you're balancing. And so how do you take care of yourself amongst all of your responsibilities in life and business, just in general, to make sure that you are giving back to yourself all of the things that you're giving to everyone else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that for me, it all starts with this kind of advanced nostalgia mindset. I oftentimes find myself thinking about like, okay, when I'm up there in age and towards the end of my timeline, how will I feel about how I spent my time and energy and focus? Will I feel proud of it? Would I change anything? If so, what do I think I would change? Will I regret, that one email that I didn't send when I said I would, or will I regret kind of more overarching trends of not showing up for my family and friends the way I want to, not making time for the things that enhance my contentment? Will I even feel like I was content day to day? I kind of start there, and then I try to kind of visualize that. And if there is something that I would change, I try to go ahead and do it. and then, you know, then I feel like that anchors me to this, you know, okay, why do I need to have boundaries? I need to have boundaries so that by the time I am dying, for lack of a better word, I'll feel really good about, you know, how I showed up in my life, just like I, you know, kind of the same way I try to feel each day. And I think having the discipline and the self-awareness to really pinpoint those trends I talked about with that commitment, kind of template, then that really helps to create these guidelines for making choices of what really matters, or what maybe somebody else could handle, or could you skip altogether? So many people get caught up in just doing things because they think they're supposed to. I mean, even the 9-to-5 workday was created for like manufacturing or something, you know, something that's super irrelevant to the vast majority of careers now. So just really not sticking to old norms and expectations, but forging your own that actually makes sense. And the way that I do that is through scheduling and just being really candid with myself about what's working for me and what's not working for me. And then, you know, just actually making the changes to ensure that I'm not, you know, getting caught in this pattern that's repeating itself and not moving me to the place that I want to be.
I love that. Well, I would imagine that you, as most moms do, suffer from mom guilt from time to time. Is there any sort of tidbit that you want to touch on with that for any women in business and just kind of just, I think, the pressure that we put on ourselves, or maybe it's part of the old system of the way things were, but it's just not working anymore. And I think it's pretty much doing ourselves a disservice to do this. So how do you do that as, you know, a businesswoman, just, I'm assuming, just wanting to be the best mom that you possibly can be?
Yes. Yes. Mom guilt's definitely a real thing. Just like all guilt, dog guilt, self guilt, health guilt, fitness guilt. I think of guilt though as like a really helpful tool, because it means that somewhere within myself, I'm telling myself that I'm doing something or not doing something that I should. So I feel the most guilt when I'm not really, my actions aren't in line with my priorities.
Okay.
Like I'll feel guilt about, you know, I mean, granted, yeah, like I love chocolate chip cookies, for example. Like there's no guilt needed there, because that can fill your cup. But, you know, if I feel like, oh, I'm having guilt, I haven't been showing up as the mom that I want to be, then that means like that's a trigger that I need to make a change in order to feel less guilty. You know, that guilt to me is like myself throwing up like a little flag, like, hi, I need your attention. Yeah. Something is off somewhere and you need to figure out where it is. And then you need to make the change to get that guilt to go away. The only way it's going to go away is by addressing it and making a change. However, sometimes people feel guilt over things that they don't need to feel guilty about. And then it's okay to say, you know what? Like I feel this guilt about this certain thing because someone else along the way made me feel like I was supposed to, but like, I'm going to choose to not feel guilty about that because it's not important to me. Again, like people make time, energy, space, whatever it is, for the things that matter. And sometimes things that trigger guilt don't ultimately matter to us, and therefore we don't need to feel guilty about them. But to process that guilt helps us move past that.
Yeah. I just hear so much self-awareness, which I think is probably one of the biggest keys to your success, because how do you grow anything in this life without the self-awareness to understand what you're bringing to the table, what you need to change about yourself or your life? I really admire that about you.
Thank you.
Well, tell everyone where they can find you and what can we look forward to with these companies that you have?
Yes. Gosh, I'm excited for what's next. We have, let's see, for A&M Agency, we're celebrating our 10th anniversary in January. I'm currently building and a new headquarters, which has always been my goal. And it will be home to a couple of other women-owned businesses too in the area. We're rebranding as we head into the new year. And then also for Palmingo, I've just had the best time. Every project just feels so exciting to me. I have kind of lost count of the projects that, we're getting the opportunity to work on. But I aim to just continue to diversify there as well, not just be installing these pools so that people can have their dream pool, but also helping them so they don't have to put quite so much effort into maintaining them, so they can actually use that time to enjoy them instead. So that's coming down the pipeline. But in the meantime, I'll also be having a baby, having my third daughter at the end of November, which is so exciting. I get so many questions about, hey, wait, how long will you go on maternity leave? And, you know, it's more like a day by day boundaries thing, just recognizing what it's going to be, having patience with myself, low expectations, and just knowing that it's all temporary and that I need to enjoy the highs and embrace the lows, what that means. So a lot on the horizon, I suppose. But in the meantime, you can find me on Instagram at Amanda Stone Chats, or AM Agency Co, or Palmingo Pools.
Amazing. Well, Amanda, thank you so much for being here. I really feel like you gave us a lot of wisdom going into any business. I think this can apply to just anyone in any job or just in life in general. So you can take all of these tools with you. I'm going to link all of Amanda's sites in the description of this podcast. And again, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Velvet's Edge podcast with Kelly Henderson, where we believe everyone has a little velvet and a little edge. Subscribe for more conversations on life, style, beauty, and relationships. Search Velvet's Edge wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.